WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.
Hi everyone, welcome at WaveAct. Today with Lukas Vera, who is the founder and director of the only official Pope agency, so-called Pope Studio. He's also the web-free lead at Polemix, and he's the CEO of Universal Voucher. And as you already might guess, we will talk today about POPs, the so-called proof of attendance protocol. So first of all, thanks Lukas for being here. It's really a pleasure talking with you. And I would really love to know a little bit more about you. How does your day look like, for example? What are you currently working on? And yeah, what are you passionate about?
Thank you for having me here, guys. I appreciate the time that you are giving me to tell the story and what is going on inside of the PoApp ecosystem. So let's dive in. As you said, I'm one of the co-founders of the only official PoApp agency that is called PoApp Studio. I'm co-founder with two of my best friends, people that I met 25 years ago in my high school, French high school. Right now, we are three Argentinians. We'll talk about later that PoApp also is very Argentinian per se, but we live in Paris because we went to a French high school, basically. And so, approximately a bit more than a year ago, let's say 14 to 15 months, I was approached by PoApp, the protocol CEO, who is also my friend Patricio, because we were in the crypto world since many years before, and at some moment it was necessary for the protocol and for the brand and for the ecosystem to have some official representation in Europe, because as you know, great stuff is happening in Europe on an unprecedented level, culturally, scientifically, legally, regarding Web3. So, and also Paris is one of the biggest PoApp market because of very nice conference like Ethereum Community Conference that is a must in the Ethereum community in the year. So basically what happens that 15 months ago, we decided that it would be good for PoApp ecosystem to have an official representation here in Paris. And so we funded this agency that its everyday work is to talk with brands, talk with companies, talk with decision makers. Our objective is more on the legacy brands, right? The you have brands that our aunts and grandmas could know. And engage with those decision makers in order to make them understand why PoApp is so cool, why they should use PoApp as the first steps into Web3, and also, of course, then the having a better suited PoApp strategy. Or even they come to us and they tell us, we heard something about PoApp and it seems to be cool, and you guys seems to be humans behind of it. And you have some experience talking to brands, and you're doing great stuff. So let's talk. And then it's our, I would say, regular sales process where we try to fit what we can do to what the brand won't do on the timing and budget associated. And and we help them think about it, but also execute a nice PoApp drop or PoApp strategy. And we have had the chance to onboard many brands that our aunts and grandmas would possibly know, like the Vogue of the world, Kenzo's, Porsche's, the Renault, which is the car company, the, I don't know, many more brands, WNBA, Red Bull, and other stuff that we cannot say, but Charlotte Tilbury with it. A lot of brands, and also working with all other agencies, of course, the publicists of the world, media monks and stuff like that, because they, of course, they're forward thinking and they already talking Web3 with their actual clients, and so we come in like the legitimization and also expertise, because it's true, we are experts in POAP, and POAP is good and cool and everyone wants to do it, so it makes sense for us to participate in with them in the conversation or in the back end, you know, in order to make sure that everything's gonna be legal, well done, made sense, that also respectful of the POAP mission. We can talk about that later, but I mean, POAP is not only the free NFT that is cool, but it has a mission of preserving the memories, right, on the blockchain. And what is a memory, what is a historical moment? Not everything can be it, right? Maybe this interview is, but clicking on a button on a web page is not. So something could be a POAP, some other things should not, and then instructing, educating people on Web3, but also on POAP's mission is our job. But our difference with the protocol is that we are revenue-oriented, meaning that we can collaborate with communities, and of course, if they do great stuff, we'll try to support them on a best effort basis. But our priority is talking with brands and make them understand that our B2B professional white glove services have a cost, and you know, having that sales process. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Thanks for that. And since that, you talked a lot about, let's say, brands that you're, I love the statement, brands that your grandma knows. How would you, let's put it that way, explain POAP to your grandma, for example?
Right. Well, POAP is like this digital collectible of a memento, right? It's like the tickets that you aunt might have collected from the concerts where that you were going, or theater, you know, theater sessions that you go now, and that you might keep the tickets on a form of memory, and you can keep it on your wallet, an actual real life wallet, or maybe in a pin board on the kitchen. Well, POAP is that, but it lives on the blockchain, meaning that it's on a stored on a place that is well, doesn't belong to any company. So if you believe in the promise of a blockchain, that the Bitcoin, if Ethereum is gonna be there forever digitally, and it's yours for you to keep it or to engage with other well, with the issuers or the digital aspect that will recognize the fact that you have gone to 1, 2, 10, 15 concert tickets, theater, fashion show, sports events, birthday, Twitter spaces, and on and on. And even we don't, nobody can predict what it be. Like, no one could really predict in 1990 what the internet would be. But we are confident that it's a very good baseline for what Web3 identity should be, and because again, it's those moments, the collection of those moments starts accumulating as some form of an ID, right? And that's what's so powerful. But at first, it's just those digital mementos that you collect, you keep, and you save word on your Ethereum account.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So someone who is now a little bit, let's say, not extremely within Web3, but already has somewhat heard about, let's say, NFTs and POAPs maybe as well. How would you tell or explain them, let's say, somewhat of the difference, you know, because everything that has a separate name at least looks from the outside like it has to be something unique or different from, for example, in that case, NFTs.
So how would you explain that they are different mementos? Or can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. Basically, there are NFTs and there are POAPs, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How would you describe the difference?
So a POAP is an NFT. On the more technical aspect, it's an ERC-721, so the first standardization of the NFT. So it's it works like any other NFT, technically it is. Even if you can read the smart contract and produce regular NFTs. Now, it's true that there are some differences that are very important. First of all, in the collectors in general do not pay for a pop. It's not something that you acquire through buying with Ethereum. It's only that you acquire it by just being at an event and engaging with the minting process, which is rather simple. You should scan a QR code or receive a link, click on it, declare your public Ethereum address, and then you just receive the POAP. So it's not something that you buy with your money, it's maybe something that you get with your cognitive presence. So that's for sure is a difference. And then the other difference is that, of course, a POAP event is a shared community event, meaning that there's very few one-on-one or unique pieces of POAP, and that's not even the original purpose, right? There's some artists that use it like that, and the protocol kinda allows it, like the bending of the mission, but the real mission is a shared experience that is shared through a POAP collection, and meaning that, let's say we are in a concert right now, so and we are 10 people, and I can show you then on my phone the collection, but basically we share this experience through the same collection. Then each POAP is distinct on the ID, meaning that we all have the same artwork, description, title of this event, but you will have 6,000,382, and I will have 603,000,083. But both of us will have for that concert, for that ticket, we'll have the same artwork and the same title and description. So I would say that it is technically an NFT, but the conceptualization of a shared memento through a POAP collection makes it different. And then of course the fact that you should not pay for it, even if some we started to see people selling those as digital collectibles, and POAP, the protocol is not bad with that. I mean, it can work. But the idea again is a shared memento that we all conserve together, and with the same artworks, you and me, except you would have like a certain ID and another ID. You can think of it like also when you go to an exposition, like when you go to a museum and yet you buy the book of the exposition, and there is a limited edition, so everyone gets the same book, right, of the exposition. It says the same title, the same cover, the same words in the book, but you would have number 18, and I will have number 42, and it's the same, but it's distinct, that it represents a shared memento, but each one has one, and each one has value. So yeah, the book of the exposition, or the sign poster, in French, I don't know how do you say it in English, but in French we say sérigraphie, which is again, it's the same poster, the same image, but you got a limited edition, and there is, I don't know, four, let's say 40, and you have number one, and I have number five, and that's it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that comes into my mind when I think about all that, and I'm pretty sure that especially some, let's say, more conservative, nothing bad here, but business people in general might hear that now and might think, well, why should I care? What is in it for me, you know?
Great question. So there is two main answers that we can give now. Three. One is, I don't know, if you're talking about POAP in particular or the entire Web3 ecosystem, let's assume that person is already interested in Web3, right? And so what's in for you? Basically doing POAP is the simplest, most effective, most prone to success way to start, right? Because what is the alternative? Is going to Nifty Kids and not understanding anything, or calling developers and paying a lot of money, without understanding anything. And then you have the UX for your collectors, because my thing is to imagine stuff and then it's actually making it happen. So if you're also, if you don't know that much, most probably your community don't know that much either. So it's a gigantic mess of not knowing how it works. So if you take a bit of a couple of hours of your time and get to read a bit about POAP, you will see it's very simple. So basically, it's the simplest, most pragmatic way to start into Web3 with a high chance of success. That doesn't mean that it's super easy. That doesn't mean that it only takes 10 minutes of your time and then it's a given. It will require a bit more of time. Or you can call POAP Studio and we'll teach you the stuff. But yeah, it's the most simple way to start. So that's for a first steps situation, right? Building some muscles, understanding mm-hmm. how it works, what is minting, what is a wallet, how I communicate with my community about wallet, understanding the digital scarcity, understanding what you should say. So everyone has the same, but there's a distinct ID, and then understanding why should I give a POAP. Everything, those questions are, it's like doing NFTs on a super pragmatic and cheap way, because again, anyone can go to POAP, go to the site, read a bit, understand how it works, and do it for free, right? The brands that pay us is because, well, they're professional services, they want professional services, but anyone can do it for free. Then, then the next step is doing 1, 2, 3, 4 POAPs for a distinct moment, and most people engage with that because everyone collects a bit, right? The ticket collection, but at some moment you say, yeah, well, I can collect 4 or 5, I won't collect every ticket that I have. And then what's in for our community, what is for us. And what is super interesting is that when you see actually with your eyes that members of your community, some of them have 4, imagine they have done 3 or 4 drops. So when you see some of them having 4, most of them having 1, some of them having 2, you start to understanding there is more engaged people than the others, which is makes sense, right? But before that, how could you do it? I mean, of course you can do it with email, and of course you can do it with comments on LinkedIn or comments on Instagram, but the digital scarcity that the POAP brings also can allow you to build a richer story, meaning that if you have dropped 4 POAPs and you have only, I don't know, let's say 20 person with 4 of them, well, now you can engage in a conversation saying the holders holding the 4 POAPs have a special access to conversation with the brand, or to a night event, or even an internal event, or a discount, or stuff like that, because you know, it's not like a coupon code, right? It's not like New Year's NYE 2022, that if you give it to someone can share it with another one, and you know precisely who can access it. It's those people that have engaged with you and have the 4 POAPs. Now, it's a tool for the brand, right? I don't know what each brand can do with the digital certification that wallet holds for of the distinct moment that has been given through POAPs, and maybe it's 4 Twitter spaces, and at the end of the day, it wasn't that relevant, but also that speaks about the strategy, right? If you did 4 Twitter spaces, and you can see people collecting those 4 POAPs, and then it doesn't generate a rich conversation with what that means. Most probably that means that the 4 Twitter space weren't that relevant, and that's good to know. But so what's in for me, there's a lot of cognitive process that the brand or the community has to be able to do, but it's true that you only are able to do it when you have dropped a couple of POAPs and you've seen people collecting it, you've seen people willing to cognitively present and to collect and say, when POAP. sometimes we see Twitter spaces and stuff like that, or lives in LinkedIn, and and there's some engagement, but people are expecting the POAP, and then when the POAP is dropped, it's like half of the audience is gone. Because, again, and that's why people, issuers put it at the end, right? But I mean, it is still a tool, like emails, like internet is, and it's super early, so we have more cases. But again, what is fairly natural that we've seen is using a combination of POAPs, like an early allow list, meaning that a drop that real NFT for real money with real value NFTs get dropped, and then in order to avoid the gas wars and stuff like that, or to engage with the conversation, you said, oh, whomever has that POAP and that POAP is allowed listed. So that gives you some form of entitlement of premium aspect of premium access. You got that for drops, but you have also that for in real life events. Whomever has that POAP can collect a ticket, token proof of unlock protocol or get protocol. We have a lot of partnerships, but whomever has that POAP can redeem for free this ticket, and only POAP holders can enter this in real life event. Or some form of a middle ground, that is, everyone can collect the Eventbrite or a token proof, but if you have the POAP on your wallet, you will get a special ticket that gave you, I don't know, a glass of champagne, again, access to the VIP access, a conversation with the brand ambassador, a conversation with the CEO, whatever. That's one thing. Then we've seen also token-gated experiences, e-commerces, like if you go to a fashion show, you collect the POAP, then you are invited to visit the e-commerce experience, and you can buy this exclusive asset that only people having the POAP can have. But also, there's limited access on the people that have the POAP, meaning that the special bag that fashion brand is exposing in a fashion show, well, let's assume 100 per person has the POAP, and then you can go to a token gate experience where only the first 10 that connect with the POAP will be able to acquire that special edition that has been shown to the in the fashion show. What else we've seen as utility? We've seen also, well, raffles and votes, meaning that for conferences, right? Whomever has this POAP or this combination of POAP can enter the raffle, but the more POAPs you have selected, the more chances you have. So we've seen that on treasure hunts, right? So you can participate with the first POAP that you have from the treasure hunt, but then you the more POAP you collect, the more chances you have. And also for voting, we've seen that only people having a certain POAP or a combination of POAPs can vote on a motion and on a question of the brand or the community might have. But I will also be honest, there is a lot of, half of it is also about getting your first steps in Web3, understanding what digital scarcity is, understanding what a blockchain is, you know, and asking those questions that the aunts and grandmas and aunts and grandpas could ask themselves. But yeah, it's true that if you wanna tip your toes, get your feet wet in this world, most probably POAP is the best way to start, because it's free and it's something that everyone, you know. Digital collectibles is fun, right? Of course, you can say, why would I do that? But it's more, people enjoy, and whenever you say, it's the moment that you collect, and if the moment is, you know, worthy, everyone wants it, especially if it's free. So there's a lot of also of education and first steps.
Awesome. I think that really clarified a lot of things for many people watching this. You just said POAPs are free, right? And many people that actually are somewhat familiar with blockchain know that you always have to pay for transactions. Depending on the blockchain, it's more or less, but you always have to pay at least something. How or what is the reason why people don't need to pay when they claim or get their POAP, for example?
So POAP means, well, we're going to get a bit technical, but the most expensive blockchain right now is mainnet Ethereum. And so POAP also exists since many years now. I think we're celebrating fourth year and 6 million POAPs minted. So for this idea to work, minting a POAP could not cost not even $2, nor $100, like at some moment of the crazy gas wars, but even the concept should be abstract. So what happens before layer 2s, before Polygon, before everything, the technical team of POAP decided to take a good decision, that was minting on a sidechain Ethereum that is called now Gnosis Chain, but before it was called XDAI. And so basically it's a proof of stake sidechain of Ethereum, meaning that your wallet that you get from wallet address that you get from MetaMask mainnet Ethereum still works on a sidechain Ethereum, but basically it's cheaper to mint there. So you are not paying, but PoAP is paying a bit of a cent, a bit less of a cent, a bit more of a cent for each PoAP, but the strategy, the user acquisition strategy was to abstract completely that gas fees and put it on the protocol side, and you not caring about it. And of course that is what made PoAP a success, right? That's why last December, I 12 months ago, we were minting number 3 million. And even with this bear market and a lot of projects going, disappearing, today we're already on the 6 million. So there was an expansion of 100%. And we don't even count those with emails, because I've been personally be distributing in events, in real life events where people do not have wallets, and PoAP also can work with email. And I wouldn't be surprised there is thousands and thousands of PoAP collectors that up to now are only collecting with email. That is also a step before the Web3 wallet, etc. But everything to say to you that someone is paying, of course, but in this case it's PoAP that abstracts you the small amount of gas fees. But then of course you had to add up, and 3 million times 1 cent is still money. But the idea is that the protocol should monetize another way, maybe with agencies like us, or for some PoAP, some super special PoAPs, getting some form of a dollar or $2. It wouldn't be a mint fee; it would be some form of a making sure that only people that care about it could have it. And that's, for example, something that happened with the merge. You remember a couple already passed the merge, but a couple of months ago there was the merge of Ethereum mainnet. There was a very official PoAP from all of the Ethereum community. Vitalik was there and stuff like that. And for that PoAP, you had to send a transaction of $10. And so, of course, in experimentation, and of course, everyone that wants that PoAP, no one had any issue with that. I think there was 10,000 of those PoAPs minted, and all everything was donated to I don't remember which project, but. But conceptually, it's free because PoAP is paying for the gas fees. Small gas fees, but gas fees at least.
Okay. Yeah, I think that clarifies a lot. Thank you for that, Lucas. So just out of curiosity, I have two questions now based on that. From what I have heard now, there are no plans actually, and I'm sure you wouldn't tell me, but I want to ask anyway. So from what you know, there are no plans to actually ever charge users for gas fees, no matter how cheap they are. Okay.
Well, correct, but it's a bit of the what we just said. It's not about gas fees.
Yeah.
It would be some form of participation, donation. I mean, one of the biggest problems that PoAP has is farming. What we call farming, that is basically there's a lot of groups of people that collect any PoAP they can. They don't care about the event, they don't care about the issuer, they don't care about anything, they just want PoAP. And it's sometimes of an issue because some issuers in Twitter Spaces or in real life, they don't understand that, and they say, oh, I wanted to make it easy, I want to put a QR code, and I want to give a link, and everyone can get the PoAP. But the problem is there's active PoAP farmers that would take the whole liquidity, not even liquidity, the whole capacity of a PoAP drop in 10 minutes, right? If the link is sufficiently public, if the brand is sufficiently public, and if the PoAP drop is not done correctly, and that's why we're here also, the whole capacity of the drop will be out in 10 minutes. And so in order to avoid that, it's all about right, it's all about caring and seeing the value out of it. So again, the merge PoAP was asked for around $10, and everything was happy with them, because we knew that if we didn't put some form of a barrier, the whole capacity would be gone again in a couple of minutes. So it's not about paying for the gas fees, it's about seeing the value and sharing the value of that digital collectible. Like you would buy for some amount of money the golden coin that some museums and church give. And so, yes, but it's a conversation that is ongoing. If you go to the Discords and the community calls, you will see that there's a lot of discussions about how to do it or when to do it or what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. So it's an ongoing conversation. But Patricio says, Patricio, the founder of PoApp and CEO, always tells that PoApp, for him, I mean, his goal for PoApp is to be a public good, meaning that anyone should be able to mint and share a PoApp for a historically relevant event. And of course, there is servers to pay and people to be care to ensure that everything works, but it should be a public good. And again, I invite every one of our listeners today to, if they have some strong feelings about it, to participate into PoApp Discords or community calls, because it's a conversation that to be had on a community level, giving your opinion and saying why you should think that for some use cases it makes sense, why for other use cases it makes no sense, and like everything, we'll find consensus on doing marvelous PoApp drops. And in general, what happens is that people that has never issued a PoApp and has not been attacked by farmers do not understand that you need to put some form of friction, because those farmers want every PoApp possible, most probably thinking that there's going to be an airdrop of PoApps and of PoApp the company, and the more PoApps you have, there's no plan for any airdrop, or also people assuming that Bitcoin was worth nothing 10 years ago, and now it's not worth nothing. So maybe, But it's an ongoing conversation, and I have not the answer. I think no one has. But yeah, if you're feeling strong about it, go to the Discord of PoApp and the community call and express yourself. There is also a forum. It's called Discourse. Maybe we can show the links later, but it's a forum where people discuss about the PoApp ecosystem and methodologies and drops, and it's so I do recommend people checking that.
100%. I will also put it into the video description so that everyone has it easy to find it. Let's put it that way. I can definitely imagine that that's a huge issue, because just imagine or think about it. You want to issue popes on your event, and suddenly there are no popes left, right? Everyone is standing there trying to scan the QR code, and it's actually a huge flop. Or at least it, the mood would be down, right? Especially from the organizer's side, because it's usually something fancy or something cool that is going to happen, right? It's something special. And then if it doesn't work, that's definitely some disappointed there. That's now a question that's coming purely from my side, out of curiosity. Are there any plans, and why not, to support other blockchains as well? We have Polygon, maybe Solana, I don't know, whatsoever. Why and why not?
Well, I'm not the voice of that, meaning that myself as the founder of the agency, we don't have that much voice on the product, but the market do speak and ask questions like that one. And it's not the official answer, it's the one that I heard. At some moment, PoApp wants to be, something that everyone recognizes, and it's PoApp is by definition, is chain agnostic. It happens that it works very well, and it has been working very well on Gnosis chain, and then there's of course the bridge to the mainnet. So functionally, it works very well as it is. But again, your question is why not other? There's not a definite answer. It's all about volume and complexity of the product, and at some moment, if you don't, even if you don't if you download EPUB app, or if you check on your Coinbase wallet, or if you check your Rainbow wallet, you can see it not natively. So the ideal answer that I should give you is it doesn't matter, right? If it's on Gnosis, Mainnet, Polygon, whatever, it's your moments, and you should be, EPUB should work with good partnerships and understand the UX in order for you to be able to have them under your eyes or on your wallet without you caring about which blockchain it is, right? Then at some moment it works, because if you connect your wallet with a website, a token gated website that checks if you have some POAP, most probably, it's tied to your wallet being on the same EVM compatible wallet on Ethereum mainnet, chain, Polygon, Arbitrum, Optimism, whatever. And so POAP wants to make that abstraction, like the gas fees, to the collectors. It's not easy, it's not that simple, because of course no one wants to pay gas fees, but some people want to see their POAPs on their Polygon, right? So it's not such a simple reply, but the official answer is POAP is chain agnostic, and whenever it makes sense, it will make sense to have them on another chain. The protocol will do what is necessary. And of course, there is some of them that are more obvious, like Polygon, Solana. But again, chain agnostic, and it will happen. But again, if you have strong opinions about it, please go to the Discord. Please go to the Discord channel, voice your opinion, and try to make POAP the best thing it can be.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Lucas, for that. Do you maybe have, because we talked about a lot of different and interesting viewpoints now, and things in general, to have three things that you would say either to a brand, startup, or just a general user, what they should remember from this awesome episode?
Yes, of course. So, POAP is clearly the simplest way to start, and also is the funnest way, and it's also the strong case is about becoming part of your digital identity, right? The digital identity that you own, but it's not for any company to have, nor even POAP. It's your assets, your tokens, your wallet. That's one. The second one is that if you have any opinion and you want to make it even more yours, go to the Discord, post the Discord, and voice it between pricing the gas or the donation or the chain. Everything is possible. And the third is that besides the utility of collecting moments, a lot of more new experiences like token-gated e-commerce, token-gated access to a party, token-gated access to other Twitter spaces or spatials or whatever, or sandbox experience, that everything is to gain traction. So yeah, whenever you feel that there is a POAP from a community that you care and that you can cognitively engage, to take that POAP, because you don't know what's the future utility of it. That's also the beauty of it, right? Once it's in the blockchain, anyone later on can create an utility for that many months later.
Exactly. Love it. Hey, thanks for that, Lucas. Really, thank you for taking the time on a Saturday for everyone to do this podcast with me. And yeah, thank you everyone for watching as well. And yeah, if there's anything I can do for you, Lucas, just let me know. I will put all links you want into the description as well. And yeah, talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks as well. Bye.
WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.